You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Jesse Egner. Jesse, thanks for being with me today.
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me.
Jesse, I'm excited to talk about your show, which is really be a lot of fun to discuss in a number of ways. But of course, we're talking about your show that's at Flow Space. And I know this show or different iterations of it have played out in other places. So I look forward to talking about this. So to begin with, I want to see how things play out. I like the title of that, and the whole show, it's kind of a approach. In that title, is that alluding to, I mean, it seems to make a few allusions. One, there's a lot of playfulness in your work and humor. And also, of course, you know, a lot of depth and a whole number of different kinds of narratives. But that title also has a double meaning, right? How things play out also, you know, to me speaks to the political climate, though maybe I'm reading things into it a bit too much. Can you tell me a little bit about that title?
Yeah, absolutely. My process is very collaborative and spontaneous. When I'm shooting photos with someone or even self-portraits, I rarely have a particular idea of what kind of photo I want to get. And it's usually, I'm not bringing props. I'm not really directing somebody. And we're just kind of working together in a very spontaneous, collaborative way that also, you know, gets very playful. And drawing from elements from the environment around us, usually in someone's home or a place that they feel comfortable in. And so the title kind of like it really refers to that process and this sort of openness and desire to just kind of see what emerges in the moment, which I think really reflects like queerness in an interesting way, where it's kind of this like uncertainty, it's this fluidity, it's this potential. And then, yeah, you're right. There's absolutely like different ways to see this, where it's kind of like a little precarious and maybe that uncertainty in a bit of in a tense, anxious way as well. I think there is a lot of like humor and absurdity that runs through my work, and a lot of it on a little bit more of a deeper level is referring to some, you know, not necessarily light topics, and so I think that kind of, yeah, it has those two sides where there's the playfulness and then there's also the more serious apprehension and precarity.
So let's talk more about that. You said this is also, of course, referring to queer life, queer personhood, culture, in terms of this kind of dialogue, right? Maybe dialogue isn't the right word, but a kind of collaboration. Let's see what happens. I mean, in a way, that is like love, right? Desire, coupling, or, you know, sex, right? I mean, it seems broad that way, right? But in terms of just being queer and what that means there, can you tell me a little bit about that? That kind of, let's see where it goes. Is that really about kind of the fluidity of a relationship alone, or is it something else? I mean, because that's how we feel going into relationships, right? Let's see where it goes. So it could be just that, but is there a queer aspect to this that I'm also not seeing?
Yeah, there's absolutely, even the title also, you know, referring to, yeah, how a relationship plays out, how any sort of relationship, be it romantic or platonic or what have you, kind of relationship plays out and will run its course or go indefinitely. But the original, when I started this work, it was really more focused on my own identity and relationship with myself, because I grew up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and growing up gay there was, you know, I'll say interesting. And, you know, kind of having like a non-normative body, I kind of felt excluded from my own like queer community. I remember when I started making profiles on gay dating websites and apps like Grindr, which I'm sure many people are familiar with. I remember seeing like the phrase "no femmes, no fats," you know, and just kind of writing off entire groups of people for really not nice reasons. And so when I moved to, well, so that put me like in a weird relationship with my own queerness and my body. And so I ended up moving to New York City for grad school in 2018, which was also sort of like a spontaneous decision. I never really saw myself moving to New York City. And it just so happened I got in, like when I applied to grad schools here, I wasn't really expecting anything. And then, you know, something, just a little bit of a spontaneous decision. And I was like, yeah, sort of thinking like, let's see how this plays out. And in doing so, I kind of was sort of hoping for and expecting this like queer utopia where none of that stuff I was experiencing back in Pennsylvania would remain. But of course, that is not what I found. A lot of that was even amplified just by how large the queer communities of a large city are. They can be more exclusive and picky. And so I started this body of work in 2018, soon after my move, with a series of self-portraits where I was putting different objects and materials on my face to kind of play with and manipulate and obscure my identity. And I was really like, really didn't like doing self-portraits. Anytime like in undergrad, I had to do like a self-portrait assignment, I did it as abstract or as, you know, weirdly as I could. So I didn't actually have to, you know, find, I could find like a little loophole to not actually have pictures of myself. But then this felt like, you know, the complete opposite of that, in some ways. And so then that was really more about, yeah, the relationship between myself and myself and my queerness and my body and how I was, you know, having some weird tensions there. And that sort of also was like, I want to see how this goes, like doing portraits of myself and putting those out there and seeing how that feels. And especially if I'm, you know, manipulating or obscuring, twisting my identity visually, like how that will change the image or not. And then after doing self-portraits for a little bit, I felt that was like a little too personal. I was thinking, you know, like, why should anyone, you know, care so much about just me and my experiences? So that's when I started photographing other people, or sometimes portraits of myself with other people, although I still occasionally do self-portraits as well. And then I got really drawn to this collaboration and spontaneity that really emerged when I was photographing with other people. And I found that that really became a core thing about that work, is when we're in that space together making the images, there's this like intimacy and connection back and forth that really can go in so many different directions, and is really, you know, what I'm after when I'm making photographs. And then even the photographs themselves, whenever we like land on something, what I really like about like the ones that I ultimately choose are, you know, there's this bit of ambiguity as well. So even I'm not even sure when someone views an image how it's going to play out in their own mind, you know, how they're going to interpret it. And I am really open to that as well, where it's just, you know, really uncertain how someone's going to interpret it, really.
I like that so much. Jesse, thanks for sharing that with me. I want to ask a few more things about what you just said, and the images that are in this show. Light Bright is an image that comes to mind, right? Self-portrait, and seems to be, this was in 2021, and it's an image that in some ways sounds like it's a kind of peak point in a sense, in terms of the struggle you just talked about, hometown struggle, even the New York struggle of you know, the difficulty of fitting into any one scene, and how it can be not embraced as you think, and there's, you know, yet another kind of scene in New York that can be exclusionary. Light Bright, you know, I love this, and I want to talk about this a little bit, because it was part of what you were just saying, but also here's a self-portrait, right, that's deadpan, that has humor to it, but is also has a lot of vulnerability to it, right? It almost looks like it could be an image on, you know, Grindr or something, but of course it wouldn't be. Can you tell me a little bit about this image? It feels both both vulnerable and revealing, and also a kind of victory in terms of what it means for you personally to get to this point, to make an image like this, and mount it and show it.
Yeah, it's interesting that you should say that, because as I mentioned, I started this body of work with a series of self-portraits, but those self-portraits were all pretty close up, you know, just of my head and sometimes like shoulders and a little bit of my chest, and I would be shirtless usually in those pictures, but you really couldn't see my body. And then I started photographing people, and then this was actually the first self-portrait I took, which was going back to self-portraiture, and took that one, which is like a full body. You know, I'm in my underwear and sitting on a bed, and it was definitely it was a little hesitant, I guess. But I think in doing this work, I found that the images really became something else. Even my self-portraits, like when they are printed and put on the wall, I no longer felt like a connection to them anymore. I didn't feel like the same way I would feel it. Take a selfie on my phone and post it to Instagram, and I look at that and I still feel this connection of like, okay, that is me in this space doing this. And this experience is a documentation of something I was doing. But I feel like with the self-portraits, I just kind of really don't see them that way. And it's sometimes weird. Like, I think of, like, you know, when I send that photo or show that photo to someone, there's a little part of me that's like, wow, I would really, if this was just like a picture of me hanging out at the beach, you know, like shirtless at the beach, like, and I was like showing someone pictures of my vacation, like I would skip over one of those. Like, I was like, don't look at the photos of me. But then I'm like, oh, here, look at this 24 by 30 inch print on the wall of me sitting shirtless in bed. You know, it doesn't really, you know, in that case, it doesn't, I don't know. There's something that happens that I kind of like lose that connection with that picture of myself.
And that's a victory, right? I mean, what does that mean to lose that connection with yourself? Because that sounds totally liberating, if I'm reading it correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think it becomes more about what's happening in the photo rather than just my physical presence, which is something like I feel like a lot of queer photography really depends on like a person's physical presence and is claiming to be about them and their identity. And I'm thinking, like, is it really about them and their identity, or is it just about how they look, how their genes are, you know, how their body is made, you know? But when you see, when someone is like in an environment, in a situation, it becomes more about them and their relationship to the environment and that situation. And, so then I realized, like, people, you know, when I was making these self-portraits and portraits of others as well, people aren't really paying attention as much to the physical presence of the person in the photograph, and more so paying attention to what is happening in the photograph. And I think that was like a really big change for me. And of course, there's still that, you know, of course the physical presence is still there, but because there's something else going on, you know, there's something else to look at and something else that kind of pulls the attention away and, makes it something a little different. And with that one in particular, I, like a kind of like recurring theme to kind of tie into the playfulness is things like toys and colorful stuff. And that's kind of always been like a recurring theme, and how that kind of also plays into playfulness and queerness. And so that's why there's this, you know, light bright, but then there's like that you get online, the things that people, like the ways that people pay to send on like Grindr and stuff is always just funny, different sort of poses and objects that they use to show size, like the things that the whole next one to the, you know, for comparison, and just really weird and funny, which is something else I was thinking about when I was making this photo.
Thanks for sharing that. And let's talk about Mirrored Hold. You know, I mean, we're kind of moving through the pandemic, outside the pandemic, and some of these images. Mirrored Hold. Let's talk about this, because at once it seems posed, right? It's set up. This is obviously right on a tripod or something, unless there's another photographer there. Let's talk about this image, because it has a lot of connotations to it, right? This is there's something erotic, sexual about it. There's something also playful about it, and something to be voyeuristic about it too, right? We're looking like through the lens, through the kind of looking glass, so to speak.
Yeah. The pandemic, so that one was taken in 2020, but it was taken in February of 2020. So it was right before, you know, just a few weeks before, you know, the pandemic really hit us hard here. And so, I mean, I'm just kind of like realizing this now, but that was probably been one of the last photos I took with more, the last time I even got really close to someone before the pandemic hit. And then, you know, it was just my roommates that I was seeing. That was right before the pandemic. And it happened when I was in Chicago for a conference, and I was staying at this Airbnb kind of further outside of town. And the Airbnb was decorated very weirdly and was very sparse. It was one of those like cheap new Airbnbs where, you know, they went to like Home Goods and they bought all like the cheap stuff that they could find, and or some stuff that they just extra and just put in just enough. And and it was a giant mirror that was like right next to the door. And so the moment you walk in the door, the front door of this home, this giant mirror that's like right back at you. And no matter where you're sitting in this big space, if you're sitting on the couch, there was some kind of big mirror that was pointed at you. So the whole time I was there, I was constantly just seeing my own reflection. And so I ended up taking a lot of mirror photos while I was there, just because that was just what I was constantly seeing, and seeing myself much more, you know, like I don't even think I had like a floor length mirror in my apartment at the time. The only mirror I had was like a little mirror in my bathroom above the sink. And so it was something very uncomfortable for me. And then there was someone that I met, and we were, you know, taking photos together. And there was something about, I was thinking about, up until that point, I hadn't taken pictures of just myself in the mirror. And it felt very about like my relationship to myself and visually. But I thought about, you know, bringing another person. And then in a way also where I'm not holding the camera. So the camera's kind of off to the side on a tripod, and you don't really see how that's happening. So it's, yeah, it's uncertain if there's someone else taking the picture or what. And then so I become kind of part of this larger relationship, not just between me and my reflection, but the camera, another person, me, and then the environment as well, and kind of really complicating that, which was also kind of a kind of freeing in some way, where you know, by putting my relationship to myself in a different context, kind of a thing.
Yeah, I like that. I like that so much. Jesse, I want to talk about another image. Okay, Hooker, right? This is 2022, and this is in Oklahoma. This is quite different than the others. It is also self-portrait, but has a kind of humor to it, especially with that gas tank in the background, right? Let's talk about this a little bit, because this feels like it's a bit staged, but something else is happening here, isn't it? This has a, to me, and I hope that's the right way I'm reading it. It has a sense of humor to it, with that kind of gas tank in the background.
When I was on a road trip to an artist residency, And when I was previewing my route, my drive from New York to San Jose, and looking at my possible routes I could take, I noticed one of them went through the Oklahoma Panhandle and through this town, Paul Hooker. And so I was immediately like, oh, happy to go. Water tower that's on it, you know, right in this, like, you know, small town. And so I was immediately captivated by that and wanted to do something with it. And it was right next to this big field. And, you know, I wanted to do a soft portrait of the water tower. Kind of, you know, felt some weird connections between, yeah, like kind of the comparison of myself with, you know, the word hooker, but then also, you know, it's a title for Oklahoma hooker, and like mediocre or just fine. So I'm kind of, you know, calling myself just like an okay hooker. That's also like actually the location, the photograph as well. And I had this big fur coat that I always, you know, it's like this like flashy fur coat that was something I never really actually wore out much unless, you know, almost, I wouldn't let's say as like as a joke, but if I, you know, wanted to wear something ridiculous, and yeah, so it just felt like the, you know, the right outfit to wear for that scene.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I love that image, and I want to ask you one more question before we go in. And for all the listeners here, of course, the show opens June 11th of 2026. For listeners, they can click through and learn more and hopefully see the show. Jesse, what are you reading at the moment?
Right now I'm reading The Photo Archive Handbook by Mary Engel. I'm the studio manager for another photographer, an incredible photographer named Mariette Pathy Allen, who's been taking photographs since the 60s. And she has an archive of over 100,000 photographs. And so this is just one of the things that I've been reading to kind of do some a little bit more deeper research on, you know, managing and maintaining and organizing and preserving, you know, such a historically important and vast archive.
Thank you so much, Jesse. I really appreciate your time today and wish you well with the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for your questions and thanks for having me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.